The fairy story is an elastic category. Andrew Lang included A Voyage to Lilliput in the very first of his coloured fairy books. And certainly not all the conventional ingredients are essential to a fairy story. Yet it would be natural to suppose that at least some of them ought to be found there, and at first sight it is tempting to conclude that Orwell wrote his subtitle with his tongue in his cheek and to read Animal Farm with our tongues in ours. And then it is impossible to understand why the book has had such a worldwide appeal to human sentiment in the past 9 years, for books written in a mere spirit of teasing do not. In fact, Orwell was a deep lover of words who never consciously misused them. If he said he had written a fairy story with a political purpose, we cannot lightly suppose he spoke lightly. A political purpose suggests some kind of moral, and that suggests rather the fable, the medium of Aesop or La Fontaine or even Thurber. There have been fairy stories purporting to have morals before now. Rimsky-Korsakov called Le Coq d'Or a fairy tale with a moral, though no one, except possibly the Russian imperial censor, who objected to the original version of the opera as subversive, has ever been able to detect what it was. There is something freakish about the idea anyway, which makes it seem unlikely to stir the emotions of the common reader. And it is impossible to attach a moral in any familiar sense to Animal Farm, where wickedness ends in triumph and virtue is utterly crushed. There is perhaps a moral for farmers. Don't take to drink and let your animals get out of hand. But even so, the villains will be comforted to find that everything comes out all right for them in the end. For the downtrodden animals, there is nothing but misery, cruelty, and injustice. And in place of a moral, there is only the tragic chorus of the donkey Benjamin, who held that life would go on as it had always gone on, that is, badly. This is not like the kind of moral that tells us to look before we leap, or not to count our boobies before they are hatched. For the animals never had a chance to choose, and if they had, it would have made no difference. It is just this sense of purposeless cruelty, though, that gives the clue to Orwell's purpose, as well as to his deadly serious reason for calling Animal Farm a fairy story. The point about fairy stories is that they are written not merely without a moral, but without a morality. They take place in a world beyond good and evil, where people or animals suffer or prosper for reasons unconnected with ethical merit, for being ugly or beautiful respectively, for instance, or for even more unsatisfactory reasons. A little girl sets out to do a good deed for her grandmother and gets gobbled up by a wolf. A young rogue escapes the gallows and gets an old Jew hanged instead by his talent on the fiddle. Dozens of young princes die horrible deaths trying to get through the thorn hedge that surrounds the Sleeping Beauty, just because they had the bad luck to be born before her 100-year curse expired. And one young prince, no better or worse, no handsomer or uglier than the rest, gets through merely because he has the good luck to arrive just as the 100 years are up. And so on and so on.